everybody. Welcome back to Dollar Dollar Bills, a way of life to build personal wealth and financial freedom. We are back to kind of piggyback off of the most recent topic I talked about, which is the sabbatical. I mentioned it in this episode on sabbaticals, the option or the thought process behind how you could be work optional and general retirement and what the retirement age is, what work optional could look like earlier than in retirement. And I think this is going to be a deep dive, and I wanted to provide you guys a look into my own deep dive into how we can become work optional and what those numbers look like, what our save rates need to be to get us there. And so I think I'm going to spread this out over a couple of episodes because I started looking into this to fit it into one episode, and I don't think one episode is going to give us enough time warranted to really dive in deeply into all of the different methodologies, all the different rule of thumbs used in the financial world to get us and you the clarity you need to figure out how much I need in retirement, what that withdrawal looks like, and when I could maybe become work optional earlier than the traditional retirement age, and how I need to start saving now to be prepared for that in the future. So we're gonna spend today's episode, and again, in all of these, I'm going to pull a real life scenario, aka my own scenario, so that you guys have some kind of numbers to think about and to wrap your mind around when we talk about some of these rules and some of these saving strategies that I'm going to emphasize are needed to both set you up for a very healthy retirement and also set you up for a work optional kind of early retirement option. So the first thing is I really want to dive into the 4% rule. I'm sure some of you have heard of it. And so I want to dive into the details of kind of what it is and where it came from, why it's still applicable, why it's still being used, when you use it in your actual own calculations, and kind of how it applies to your retirement number and why it's important, and how it can also apply to your work optional number. So let's dive right into the 4% rule. So it's basically a rule for retirement budgeting that suggests that a retiree should withdraw 4% of the balance in their retirement accounts in the first year after retiring, and then withdraw the same dollar amount adjusted for inflation, that's important, every year after that. So it's intended, the 4% rule is intended to supply a steady stream of income while maintaining an adequate balance for future years. So this is also assuming a reasonable rate of return on your investment. It allows you to take a number within your full balance as a withdrawal that will consistently allow you to pull out that number of interest and dividends and potentially on your principal that will keep you from quote unquote running out of money. So a little history behind the 4% rule. The concept of the 4% rule is attributed to Bill Bengen, a financial advisor in Southern California who created it in the mid-1990s and has since complained that it's been oversimplified by many of its adherents. He said that the 4% rule was based on worst case scenario and that 5% would be more realistic number. I've heard 3%, I've heard 4%, I've heard 5%. I like to just stick to the 4% because it keeps it simple and I think it's conservative enough for you guys, especially because in a lot of my traditional work, when I look at retirement, I don't consider Social Security as part of that number. So 4% for me is conservative enough when we're not considering a additional stream of income down the line that I want you guys to kind of wait till 70 to take. That's another story for another episode. The rule was created using historical data on stock and bond returns over the 50-year period from 1926 to 1976, focusing heavily on the severe market downturns of the 1930s and the early 1970s. So he concluded that even during untenable markets, no historical case existed in which a 4% annual withdrawal exhausted a retirement portfolio in fewer than 33 years. So while some retirees who adhere to the 4% rule keep their withdrawal rate consistent, the rule allows retirees to increase that rate to keep up with inflation that we mentioned earlier. Possible ways to adjust for inflation include setting a flat annual increase of 2% a year, which is the Fed's target inflation rate, or adjusting withdrawals based on the actual inflation rates. The former method provides steady and predictable increases, while the latter method more effectively matches income to cost of living changes. I will say, if you were to try and be consistent with your inflation increases, theoretically and historically, inflation has increased by, on average, about 3% a year. So I would go more towards the 3% rather than the 2% that to be more conservative there. So advantages and disadvantages of the 4% rule. While following the 4% rule can make it more likely that your retirement savings will last the remainder of your life, it doesn't necessarily guarantee it. The rule is based on the past performance of the markets. So it doesn't necessarily predict the future, but we can never really 100% predict the future. So it is nice as a rule of thumb to use based on historicals, and what was considered a safe investment strategy in the past may not be a safe investment strategy in the future if market conditions do change. So there is some risk there. There is some uncertainty there. There are several scenarios in which the 4% rule might not work for a retiree. A severe or protracted market downturn can erode the value of a high-risk investment vehicle much faster than it can a typical retirement portfolio. So depending on what your portfolio looks like in terms of stocks, bonds, alternative investments, real estate, so on and so forth, this rule of thumb may not be able to be applied across the board, generally speaking. Furthermore, the 4% rule does not work unless a retiree remains loyal to it year in and year out. Violating the rule 1 year to splurge on a major purchase can have severe consequences down the road, as this reduces the principal, which directly impacts the compounding interest that the retiree depends on for sustainability. However, there are obvious benefits to the 4% rule. It's a simple to follow rule, and it provides a predictable and steady income. So it allows you to kind of calculate out and prepare for the future year by year, and allows you to give yourself enough of an income to meet your standard of living, meet your cost of living, so on and so forth in retirement. I do want to further emphasize that many people who have analyzed the 4% rule, who have analyzed the methodology and the calculations around the 4% rule, do believe that it's still a little bit on the conservative side, because it is accounting for some of the years where we had the worst economic conditions, such as 1929, Great Depression. And so if you take out those really, really worst case anomalies, it's actually a very conservative number, which is why I'm okay with using that number. So again, I mentioned this previously, I want to reiterate that fact. Again, there are some financial experts out there that allow for a 5% withdrawal, because the idea is that the 4% is so conservative that 5% is a bit more realistic in what we're seeing over the longer years, and not accounting for these very, very tumultuous times that don't happen very often. Great Depression is an example of that. And it allows for a more comfortable lifestyle while only adding a little bit more risk to that added 1% withdrawal rate. Again, I still personally like to stick to the 4%, and I think you should too. So how long will your money last using the 4% rule? It's intended to make your retirement savings last for 30 years or more. This rate of withdrawals means that most of your money used will be in the interest and gains on investments, not principal, assuming a reasonably healthy market return. So again, I mentioned it earlier in the episode, 33 years or more, depending on, you know, what you are actually taking out, but that 4% rule in theory is 30 plus years that your money will last. It's also focused on preparing for retirement at age 65. If you're hoping to retire earlier, again, this is why I'm spending this episode on the 4% rule and what that means for us. You're going to get into more of a complex analysis if you are wanting to retire earlier. So this is only for kind of that standard, I'm using air quotes here, retirement age of 65. Anywhere between 62 and 67 is kind of that retirement age. So 65 is kind of a good number to focus on. Okay, so now that we've dived a bit deeper into the history of the 4% rule, what it means, how you should use it and apply it in your own life, I'm going to apply it to our current finances just so you guys have an idea of a real life example of what this looks like and how you can use it to what some financial gurus and experts and people on Twitter and Instagram, whether they're real professionals or not, are calling an FU number. And an FU number is a number that you have in your invested assets or your investments where you can basically tell your boss, yeah, I'm not coming in tomorrow or any day after because you have enough now to withdraw 4% safely from your retirement accounts. So let's start with what is that FU number for you? How do you calculate it? And how does the 4% withdrawal rate rule come into play there? So again, I will give you guys a very specific and tangible example in our own assets, in our own investments, so that you can have a look at how to calculate this for yourself. And again, this is going to become important in that work optional retire early conversation, because as I had mentioned, the 4% rule looks at being able to withdraw for over a specific period of time. If you're adding to that period of time, so let's say you're wanting to retire early or become work optional at 45 and you're living until 90, you're going to need much more money because you need it for a longer period of time. Maybe you don't need as much per year, but you have to now consider that you need money for maybe 50 years of a withdrawal rate instead of 33, 35 years. So all of this starts changing a bit and you have to think of your numbers a bit differently. So keeping it simple for this episode, just to give you guys some context, I'm 37 right now. And right now in all of our investable assets, we have about $700,000. So that $700,000, if you were to pull up a standard, you know, you can even Google investment calculator, that's the number I'm going to be putting in for my starting value because that's already what we have in our accounts. So put a pin in that for now, because that's going to be important once we run the calculation of how much money we need to hit that income per year at that 4% rule. So I want to always have accessible to me as disposable income $200,000 a year. We're not quite spending $200,000 a year right now, but I think the more money that we make over the years, I'm going to want to have that disposable to me to live a very comfortable life and to be able to, again, take that money out per year. If I use it or not is another story, but I want to be able to have $200,000 per year to live off of. So knowing that number is important. So that is our income number. So whatever that number is for you, you're going to divide that number by 0.04, which is essentially 4%. And whatever that number looks like, that's how much in theory you need in your retirement accounts to be able to retire and pull that money out. So that number for us, because it's such a high yearly income, is $5 million. So you might be thinking, yeah, there's no way in hell I'm gonna have $5 million ever. So if I go back into this investment calculator that I've been talking about, I plug in the amount that we're starting with, so $700,000. I say that in 25 years, I'm not going to touch this money for 25 years. I'm going to contribute to this money for 25 years. That puts me at 62. So, you know, around retirement age. If I contribute $2,000 a month to my investments, and we are assuming, so generally speaking, what you can assume is a 10% return on your money in the stock market. But if we assume an inflation adjusted 7%, because I'd mentioned earlier, 3% is average for inflation, then I would have $5.3 million in 25 years. So basically, that's my number. That's my number in terms of contributions. So I need to be contributing $2,000 a month to my current investments to enable me to have my FU money, my $5+ million by 62. So that's where I'm going to end this episode, because what I want to get into in the next episode is I don't want to retire at 62. I want to retire maybe at 45, or I want to become work optional at 45. So between 45 and 62, what does that look like? So we'll dive deeper into the income I'll need and what kind of game plan I'm going to need to be able to do that. So again, I'm going to end it here. I hope that's some food for thought for you guys in terms of calculating and planning for retirement. And then we'll do a kind of step two or a phase two, a part two, if you will, to look at what you'll need to fill or to bridge that gap for either retiring early or becoming work optional. In the meantime, guys, remember, respect yourself by respecting your money. We'll talk soon.